Mike Conti on the call, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and you heard that a lot of goos, not booze, but goos. Brad Guzan, our guest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brad, nice to meet you, finally after seeing you on TV and at Mercedes-Benz all these times. A little bit bigger in person than I expected.
It helps. No, I appreciate it, guys.
You guys went through an unbelievable run, and really, I can say this, captured the imagination of a city. I was a guy that when soccer came here, I'm a football dude. I'm a basketball guy. I played baseball. I said I was kind of on the wait and see. But you guys really got this city to buy in. Were you surprised at all through this entire run from year one, year two, winning a championship, that the city of Atlanta embraced you guys the way that they did?
Absolutely. We knew that the support could be there. We just didn't know to what level. And to give all the credit to the fans, the level was out of this world. From day one up until the final at the end of last season, they have been tremendous. And I don't think anyone could have predicted how big the support would be. Obviously, it helps when you're winning and you're playing well. But at the same time, you know, win or lose, when we go through a rough patch throughout the season, our fans are still there behind us 100%.
Right. It just seems like yesterday we're celebrating a championship by you guys and everything, and now you're all of a sudden you're back taking your physicals and stuff. And you're a guy, you play year round. You're on the national team and all this. How did you get a chance to recover at all from the championship?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously still fresh in our minds, which is good. But at the same time, it's just the way it is. It's right. It's the business side of things. It's a quick turnaround. You start to feel ready to come back. You start to feel antsy, and you miss seeing the guys and the buzz around the locker room, and you know how it is, all the shenanigans that go on in the locker room with all the guys. So you start to you miss all that. It's right. Good to be back. Ask me in a week's time after our first week of preseason, we'll be like, oh, a couple more weeks, you know. So it'll be good.
Now, did you get any vacation time? Did you travel anywhere?
No, I was low key. You know, originally from Chicago, my wife and I. So we were up there most of the time. We were down in Disney World we got two little kids after the final. But other than that, it was rest and recover and make sure that I'm ready to go for preseason.
What's the expectation now? Because you're the Hunted now, and you know you came in 2 years ago. This fun team that runs around all fast. You got high motor guys going out. Then last year you break through. You win a championship. What's the expectation for you? Because you're one of the leaders on this team, and now your team is Hunted. Even though your relative are still a young team.
Absolutely, it's the main objective is to do it again.
Right,
and that's the hardest part. Right, as you mentioned, and kind of we're saying, right, when you do something the first time, nobody kind of expects it. Now all of a sudden we've got a big target on our back, and every time people come into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, every time we play a team on the road, they're going to say, right, they know that they're going up against the champion, and they want to perform. And so every game is going to be difficult, we know that, but our goal is to do it all again, and that's what professional sports is all about.
Correct.
Brad Guzan, our guest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy talks about being the Hunted. I thought you guys were the Hunted anyway, because there were a lot of people around the league that looked and almost looked with disdain the way that Arthur Blank has built this. Did you guys feel that when you were on the road, that people really didn't like your club?
For sure. But that's what happens when you're at the top of the mountain, right? Everyone's trying to knock you off. Everyone's trying to come after you. And so everyone thinks that it was some secret recipe that all of a sudden we started putting 50,000, 72,000 fans in the seats. So, you know, we're winning games. We're bringing in players from South America that are not only doing well but kind of taking the league by storm. And everyone thinks, oh, they're doing something different in the league, a big conspiracy that the league wants us to win and all this nonsense. It's down to hard work. It's down to desire. It's down to togetherness, to camaraderie, sticking together. And at the end of the day, when – you're being, you know, a good team, and you're being successful, and things are going your way, people are going to want to take that away from you.
You're one of the best goalkeepers in the world, and you know, some of the saves that you made down the playoff run, and you're like, oh my God, he got to it, and all those things. And talk about the guys in front of you, though, and how important Parkhurst and those guys are to your success. And when things do break down, and you are the last line of defense, what goes through your mind when you might see he's out of position?
Well, the first thing is, I probably can't say on the radio,
yeah.
But
Parkhurst,
get over there. No, those guys are phenomenal. I said it from day one. They make my job so much easier, you know, and their ability to cut out plays before they get to me, before they become a danger, just little things, being one step, you know, farther to the right and being able to cut out a pass or a through ball or block a shot, whatever it is. Those guys are tremendous. And so we'll be looking forward to getting back out in the field and making sure we pick up where we left off.
How hard is it being a goalkeeper on a team that plays a style that you guys play as far as attacking offensively?
Yeah, mentally it's a huge part of it. You've got to stay clued in because I may not be called into action until the 75th minute, the 90th minute, and then at that moment I've got to be able to make a save and come up and help the guys in front of me. So, you know, they're running around and probably physically tired and exhausted as well as mentally, but for me, you know, it's a mental aspect and it's a mental game where you've got to make sure you're clued in and you're ready to go. And whenever that moment comes, you got to be ready to make the save.
You play a very aggressive style at goalkeeper. A lot of times running out and taking a ball high or doing whatever you need to do to stop it. Where does that come from? How did you become so aggressive in your style?
I think you just, as throughout your career, you pick up things, along the way. You know, you learn from your experiences of what works, what doesn't work, and you try to incorporate it into your game and be successful with it. And also that, you know, because the attacking style that we play, the high line that we play, the press that we play with, that forces me to play higher. I got to stay connected to the back line. There can't be a huge gap behind our center backs for, you know, an opposing strikers to run into. I've got to be there to cut out any through ball. So it's all part of it. It's through my experience throughout my career, but also it's dictated by how we play as a team.
You know, soccer is growing so much in this country right now. And right growing up, is that the only thing you played, or is that the one that you specified in? Were you like, okay, I don't think I'm big enough to play football, but you're a big dude. I can't play basketball. Let me try out this soccer thing.
No, I played from a young age. I played baseball growing up. I was decent at baseball. Played travel baseball. I was decent as a basketball on defense in basketball. I was shocking when it came to shooting hoops, but. Yeah, I throw my body on the line, grab the rebounds, give it to somebody else that's good with the ball, and my job is done. But, I just fell in love with it. And I think I was probably like 12 years old. My mom and dad said, right, enough of this traveling for soccer and for baseball. You got to pick a sport. And I picked soccer, and it's worked out okay so far.
We always hear, and we're lucky enough to travel with the Falcons and do stuff there, and you hear about all the shenanigans they do in the locker room and playing ping pong and all the competition. What do you guys do back here for competition? Is it a video game thing? Are you guys playing ping pong, pool? What are you guys doing?
I think there's all sorts of nonsense going on. Leandro's he's normally at the heart of it. You know, Chris,
shocking that LGBT's
I know,
in the middle.
Chris McCann, Jeff Lorenowitz, Mikey Ambrose, these guys, there's always little pranks being played, little competitions going on, and normally stories from the day before. So
the Merritt guys, we sit back and listen to those stories. Guys.
That's how you stay.
Yeah, that's how you stay there. For sure. Frank DeBoer introduced today as the new manager. Have you got a chance to meet him, and what have you been your observations of him?
Yeah, I mean, after he was announced, I called me, spoke on the phone for a good amount of time, was able to kind of give him my thoughts and whatnot, but also hear what his ideas were for the team going forward and whatnot. So that was a good conversation. I saw him in the hallway earlier today, said hello, and I'm sure as the days go on and we're out in the field and start training, those conversations will pick up and be a bit more soccer related. But obviously somebody as a player was an unbelievable player, and as a manager, as we know, his time in Holland with Ajax was phenomenal, and his track record there, as well as going around the world and being able to work with big players, big clubs. So we're excited that he's on our side and looking forward to being able to work under him and kind of pick his brain and see how he sees the game and how he wants us to play. So it should be an exciting few weeks.
You obviously had some great moments during the playoff run, and I think you guys gave up one goal the entire time through the playoffs, if I remember correctly. What was the biggest save that you had in your mind, the save that may have turned the fortune of winning MLS Cup?
I've got a terrible memory, so The only one that I really remember was would probably be in the final.
Yes.
But you know that's due to my horrendous memory. Yeah, I mean, in those moments, as I said, you know, I didn't have a lot to do in the final. I wasn't called upon, and that's the way I like it, right? Not a problem. But in that moment, I was called upon to make a save, and I was fortunate enough to make it. So, you know, the rest is history, as they say.
You know, I've been in the locker room as long as I were. It was, you know, all your teammates pretty much speak the same language. Right. How is the language barrier, and how do you deal with that part of the game?
No, it's good, man. It's good. Obviously, there's some guys that speak. There's English guys that speak Spanish. There's Spanish guys that speak a little bit of English. But ultimately, football, you know, soccer is the world's game. And,
right.
And you know, when you're out on the field, there's no problem whatsoever. And when we're in the locker room, it adds to the comedy show and it adds to the joke. So it's good, man. We all get along. It's a good group.
How cool is it to watch the young guys, Joseph Martinez, Miguel Almiron? I mean, these dudes are rock stars around the city of Atlanta.
For sure.
How much fun is a married guy to sit back and just watch them now? Navigate.
definitely. No, it's exciting. It's exciting for the city. It's exciting for myself. It's exciting for the team, for the club. These guys are huge players. Individually, they're fantastic, but as a team player, they're even so much more important than that. And so to have them on our team, it's obviously good. But we get to know these guys as people and as people off the field. And they're funny. They're good guys. It's nice to be able to sit back and watch them do their thing.
Now you go on our afternoon show all the time. We're gonna hijack you from them because I've heard you calling in or passing the phone along or in the ride along. We're gonna steal you from the afternoon guys.
Hey, not a problem. Somebody owes me a case of Hey Man beer though. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
They'll be here in about an hour.
All right then,
Brad. We really appreciate it.
Congratulations
on MLS Cup and best of luck this upcoming year.
Appreciate it, guys.